money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. It is Sunday after Thanksgiving. Tomorrow is Cyber Monday. We've had one of the best Black Fridays we can remember. I don't know, maybe in the last, who knows how many years, but Black Friday sales increased 6.6%. There's other good news in terms of sales for Cyber Monday already getting going. Really interesting to see everybody who is out there and defending their sales, defending their purchases, or items that they wanted with mace and pepper spray and other kinds of really aggressive shopping techniques. So much going on today. Thanks for joining us. Number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time, my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Lines are wide open if you've got questions today as you're driving around. We understand that the traffic's just starting to pick up on all of the Atlanta area highways. Everybody's done. There's, I guess, the turkey coma has worn off, and they're getting on the road and going home for the week. Interesting week, by the way. If you were looking at some of the business news, in addition to all the news about Black Friday and Cyber Monday, which is tomorrow, we saw the NBA actually came to an agreement, and it looks like the NBA season is going to start on Christmas Day. That's a $4 billion industry, and they're going to actually get up and running, which is sort of amazing. The Dow had an awful week. It was the worst week for the Dow since 1942, so right around World War II, beginning of World War II. And just really dark days for Europe right now. I mean, it actually might be the worst since 1932. There's some discussion there about how bad the Dow was. In any case, anytime you have to go back, like, say, 60, 70 years to find a worse week for the Dow, not so good. And Thanksgiving is usually a pretty good week for the Dow. In fact, November, I mean, you're gearing up for the big Christmas bash for the Dow. I mean, usually it goes up at the end of the year. But we are, you know, stocks are in negative territory. I mean, we're looking, I think it's down 7% now since the high. I believe we're negative for the year again. Very thin trading. We saw down 25 points in a shortened session on Friday. This is the seventh consecutive decline, seven days of trading in a row. Some traders are watching for 1150 on the S&P. So that's not so good. The CBOE Volatility Index ended about 34. People are very concerned. Belgium got downgraded this week from AA to AA-. We saw, they got downgraded to AA from AA+. So be clear about that. But we also saw Hungary get downgraded. Italy issued an auction that shot up to about 7%. This is just after a failed German bond auction this week. Folks are spooked, I got to say. The bond traders are really spooked. And from what I'm hearing, there's some questions about what's going to happen with this week's auction. And 7%, paying 7% for bonds is just completely out of the realm of possibility for Europe. And now they're starting to talk about the decline or the dissolution of the euro, which I think would just have profound effects on all of the economies around the world. So that's been sort of interesting to watch this week. There's been a lot of nervousness as we have focused inward on our very own special holiday occasion this week. We're the only ones who celebrate Thanksgiving, at least this week anyway, for American Thanksgiving. And around the world, everybody else is continuing on as they are. What else happened this week? Well, it looked like AT&T is going to take a $4 billion charge. Its takeover of T-Mobile is looking less and less likely. That's not good news. We got a big week coming up this week. New home sales numbers is out. The Dallas Fed manufacturing survey comes out on Tuesday. The S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index, that's looking like it's going to come down. Maybe there are 3.5%. The FHFA home price index is coming out. This is all on Tuesday. Consumer confidence is coming out. The Fed's Yellen is speaking. Wednesday, we've got the weekly mortgage applications. I mean, it's just like one thing after another. This is a big week of numbers. It's the end of the month. Jobless claims on Thursday. Friday, we're going to see the employment situation. Lots and lots and lots of news this week. And there are just so many opportunities for negative headlines. And there are a lot of traders who are very concerned about what that is going to mean to companies and to the countries that are bidding on these bonds. So we'll have to just watch it all and see what kind of happens. For the week, the Dow was down 564 points. I mean, that by any stretch, that is big. It ended the week at 11,231. We are getting very close to the 10,000 mark again. And there are many people who are thinking that we definitely are going to see it that way. What else is going on? I don't know. Their European contingent mess is just kind of dominating all the headlines. We'll have to watch this week and see what happens. A little later on the show, I have a very interesting story to tell you about a rental car that I rented but never picked up that got stolen off the lot and what happened and how I found out about it. Very interesting. You always have to check. Clark and I try to live by, you know, what we tell you to do. This is how we actually live. And great story. I'll tell it coming up maybe at the bottom of the hour. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Happy to help you out today. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Sid joins us on the line from McDonough. Hi, Sid.
Hey, good morning, Elise.
Good morning.
It's
happy
a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you very much. Nice
been
to
been a long
meet you.
Time listener.
Oh, well, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes. My question has to do with a refinance.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I. We're 65. We're going into our retirement.
Okay.
We refinanced our home approximately about 3 years ago, and we refinanced at 4.875, 30-year mortgage.
Yep.
I have a balance on my mortgage of approximately $148, and it's been appraised this year a little lower than what it much lower than what it was. But my appraisal now is like $233.
Oh, great! You still have some equity. Terrific.
Yeah. I have $148 remaining on it, uh-huh. And I want to know, based on our age and going into retirement, things of that nature, should I be looking at? I want to refinance because I listen at your show and other shows, and they said, you know, it's an excellent opportunity if you could qualify. Should I be looking at another 30-year, or if it's within our, you know, income means to do a 15-year? What is your spin on that?
I think you should try and get rid of this loan. 30 years is going to take you to 95.
Yeah,
I kind of would like to see you pay this off a little sooner.
Maybe
by the time you're 80. So a 15-year would get you to 80. What I like about a 15-year is that you're paying 4.875 now, but with a 15-year, you might be able to get to 3.25.
So that should be like a target for me, 3.25, somewhere around there?
I think so. I would, unless, you know, do you know, assuming you have really good credit, right?
My credit is excellent, my wife and I.
Excellent.
Thank God
so
for that.
You have great credit. If you have great credit, you get a lot of options that a lot of other people don't get today, which is kind of nice, right? So, I think that if you can refinance for that amount, you ought to be able to save yourselves quite a significant amount of money. Now, let's test this out. What are you paying right now? What's your monthly payment, not including taxes and insurance, just the mortgage, principal, and interest?
My monthly payment is $1,050.
Great. So if you
that includes my taxes.
That includes
taxes is yes. We were blessed to do what we had to do when we bought this house back in 2005.
Okay, so how much do you pay in taxes?
I guess our taxes that's in our mortgage payment is like $2,500. Like I said, I'm 60.
So about $200 a month. Okay, so looking at a 15-year at 3.25 with $148,000, and I just did this myself on eLoan.com while we were talking, although my ThinkLink.com website has the same calculators. If you have a $148,000 loan at 3.25, your monthly payment will be $1,039.
That's less than I'm paying now.
But you included the taxes and insurance, right? So you would have to add the $200 a month back in. So it would
back into that.
It would be $1,239.
$1,239.
$1,240. So it's about $200 more a month than what you're paying, and for that you cut the loan down to, you know, whatever you've cut it down to, 15 years from 28 years.
Right.
Now, if that's not going to be doable for you, if that extra income isn't going to work, then you probably, you may or may not want to refinance, because to refinance now, you'll probably only get about 4% on a 30-year loan, and you go back to the 30 years.
Okay.
And then you're going to just pay a lot in fees, and you're really not going to be saving anything.
Yeah,
At $148,000 at 4% on a 30-year loan, your monthly payment will drop to $706 or $906 including the taxes. So you're going to pay about $100 less a month, which is fine, but you've just added 2 years or 3 years back to the end of the loan.
But, you know, I'll make it to 90, I don't know.
Well, that's it. Like, so why would you want to you know what I mean? It may not be worth it to refinance.
Hold on to your cash so far as that origination fee.
Yeah,
$4,000 or $5,000 with it.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Or just $4,000 or $5,000 and pay down your loan, and you'll probably, you know,
If you do the numbers, you look at everything. If that increase in your monthly payment mortgage is doable, it may be to your advantage to look at a refi at 15 years and save all the interest and pay your house off 10, 12 years earlier.
Yes, absolutely. If you could, you know, what I always say about refinances is that you want to not only lower the interest rate, you want to lower your payment, and you want to shorten your loan term, and you want to really be careful about the fees you're going to pay to do all of that. That's the home run. So if you don't pay much in fees, you have a lower payment, lower interest rate, shorten the loan term, it's a home run.
Well, I'm not going to have a lower payment.
Right. So you eliminate that, but you cut down and save 13 years of loan payments. So that's a significant savings. That's the key one, actually.
Okay.
That's the key driver for me. But you have to decide how that fits with your retirement income. Because for people who get into a fixed income situation, their money's maybe earning 1 or 2%.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want you to get into trouble
because you have
a higher payment.
Right, I understand. Okay, good. Well, that's why I called you, you know, just to get your idea on that.
Well,
I've listened to a lot of your callers, you know, over the last year or longer than that. And basically almost the same scenario, but, you know, I never was able to reach you until today to you personally.
You know, Sid, when it's you, it seems different than when it's everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Because now it's you and you're in this situation and you got to really be thinking about all these things that go into it. Like, we are 65 and, you know, we have 4.875. That's pretty cheap. And, you know, what is it going to cost me to do the refinance? And how am I going to make that work? And all of those different decisions that come into play when you listen for, you know, entertainment and information is different than when you call yourself. And I am so glad that you called. Thank you so much. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
25 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. So glad you could join us. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to talk about my little situation with Hertz coming up at the bottom of the hour and some tips for Cyber Monday shopping. So we got a packed show. Some lines are still open, 404-872-0750. If you have questions, happy to help you out this morning. Terry joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Elise. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
It was very stuffing. How about yours?
It was excellent.
What's on your mind today?
I have a real estate question for you. The setup is My husband and I own some lake property, and my father-in-law owns property on the same lake. He has deeded his property to his three children, my husband and his two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious about what our personal liability is in a situation like that.
Well,
given
you
taxes,
mean
that type of thing.
Taxes and financial liability or like legal liability?
Probably all three. Because the situation is, you know, we'll never live there, so we aren't going to want to invest in that property. And I'm kind of wondering if we should just give our share to them so that we aren't on the hook financially for any future improvements, taxes if someone can't pay, all that type of thing.
Well, I think you can give it away or you can sell it to them if there's any value to it and open up that discussion. If it was deeded to your husband, how many siblings does he have?
Two.
So he should talk to them about what they want to do and try and establish some sort of value, even if he decides to give it away.
Mm-hmm.
And then until that happens, you should make sure that everybody has enough umbrella liability insurance on the property so that you're covered legally in case something happens.
Okay.
And until you transfer out of that property, and you may decide to give it away because it's worth it not to have to put any money in and worry about the management and all the rest. You may decide to do that, and then you need to sign proper papers so that you're officially out, right?
Okay.
And so that it really is going to require a real estate attorney to help you out, make sure that you know what's going on and that you're covering all of your bases. Because the thing that you don't want to do is just kind of let it sit there, wondering whether or not, you know, things are going to get done, that roof that's leaking, is it going to get fixed? Oh, they didn't repaint, and now we've got a mice problem in the basement, whatever it is. So you're going to want to make sure you take care of all of that, and then the liability is going to fall to nothing, which is exactly where it should be. 404-872-0750. It's 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
36 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Thanks for joining us this morning. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Get ready for Cyber Monday. We're going to talk about that in about a half an hour. Some tips for keeping you safe and sound when shopping online. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If we can help you out, delighted to do it. Don't forget to sign up for my free weekly newsletter, ThinkGlink.com, ThinkGlink.com. When I was filling in for Clark this week, we had tons of activity on Twitter while we were going back and forth on the show. So this morning, nobody's tweeted yet, but as we have activity there, we'll certainly report it. So Tuesday before Thanksgiving, last week, I get this letter that looks like junk mail, and I almost didn't open it. And it was from Hertz Processing Services, HertzRentalFind.com. I'm thinking to myself, well, I rent a lot of Hertz cars, so I'm going to open this up. I open it up, and it tells me that I have a parking violation for a car that I supposedly rented from October 25th to October 27th from San Francisco, and the ticket is from Redwood City, California. And I'm thinking to myself, something about this is wrong. First of all, I did rent a car that week, but not those days, and I never was in Redwood City anyway. I was in, you know, I was in some other place, but there was no way. I didn't even park it. I parked it a meter, but it's the wrong day. It's the wrong city. It's the wrong rental, and I'm so confused. I'm scratching my head. So I call, and I get this woman on the phone, and she said, oh, well, just can you prove that you either weren't in San Francisco that day or, you know, that you were in a cab? Because I said I spent like $100 on cabs that day. Because what happened was, I had made this reservation to arrive at San Francisco Airport and to pick up this car at like 9:30 in the morning. But the plane was 2.5-3 hours late, and I was so late in getting to a business meeting that I literally walked off the airport, walked off the plane and into a cab, and I took a cab ride, about $35, $45 worth, down to my meeting south of the airport. And then I took a cab all the way back to downtown San Francisco to my hotel, which cost like $85-90. It was like the most expensive cab ride I've taken in a really long time. But it was kind of stuck. There was no other way to get back. So I tell this to the person. He goes, well, just fax the receipts and we'll see what's going on. So I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to fax the receipts. And then she tells me that I was charged $109.98 for the rental. And I remembered seeing, like, this charge, thinking, that seems like the wrong number. I thought the rental was only $48. But you know how it is when you're busy and it's, you know, whatever. I was like, well, I'll figure this out next week. It's a business thing. Then I call back again, and I get another guy on the phone. I said, you know what, can I talk to... They're like, well, you have to talk to the station manager in San Francisco. Here's the number. So I get the number, and it just puts me back in a queue for customer service. I'm like, this is just a round robin. I'm like, never going to get the person I want to talk to. So I decide to up the stakes. What do I tell you guys what to do? I go ask for a supervisor. So I call back again. I want to talk to a supervisor, a nice gentleman named Steven. He says, I'm the senior agent on the floor. He said, I can't let you talk to a supervisor until I try and help you. How can I help you? And I have to say that every single person I spoke to was very polite and tried to be helpful at the Hertz customer service. So kudos for that. I didn't feel like it was customer no service, except where it kept dumping me back in from San Francisco directly back into the general queue for customer service. So I tell Steven my sob story about, like, this can't possibly be my rental. And it occurs to me as I'm talking to him that the car was stolen. Like, this car that I had reserved, which they're supposed to automatically cancel the reservation if you don't show up within an hour, never got canceled, probably because I have some status at Hertz, so they probably kept it open longer. And somebody literally got in the car and drove it off the lot. They stole the car. And they thought it was me. But there, you know how it is when you rent a car. There's several places that you're supposed to check that the name on the car rental matches the driver's license. Clearly didn't happen. So Stephen and I pieced together what probably happened is I didn't show up for this rental, and somebody drove it off the lot at 12:36. Now, my reservation was for one day. I was going to drive the car from San Francisco Airport down to Foster City, which is where my meeting was, and then drop it off at Fisherman's Wharf the same day. Like, I only needed the car for about 4 hours. Which, by the way, was going to cost me just as much as I paid for the cab, but whatever. And so this person kept it for 2 days. They rented the car at 12:36 on the 25th, and they returned it on the 27th. And I'm like, well, I was well into my meetings by that point. And I was in the city. I was in cabs. I have cab receipts. You know, I took like 10 cabs that week in San Francisco, because driving and parking in downtown San Francisco can be very, very expensive. It's like $38, $40, $50 overnight. And unlike Clark, I can't walk like 20 miles to get a free parking place. He is the king of the free parking places, for sure. Anyway, so we go through this whole conversation, and Steven's very nice, and he gets the station manager for San Francisco on the phone, a guy named Mike. And he says, Mike's going to help you out from here. And so Mike, I tell Mike what happened, and he goes, you know, it happens like 3 times a year. He said, I'm sorry it happened to you. Let me rewind this. And yes, you were charged $109.98. He said, I can't account for the ticket. You should, you know, talk to the ticket people and send an email so that they will get that canceled. And the ticket was like for $30, which it probably really wasn't $30, but they said there was some sort of administrative fee in addition. So, okay. $30, and then I get something like, and he says, but I'm going to take care of this, and I'm going on vacation, and if it doesn't all get cleared up, you know, inside a week, I'll be back after Thanksgiving, and we can pick up. So he gave me his personal number. It was really a very nice result. And then I emailed to, but you can see how many steps, right? We're like at about 10 steps here. So then I emailed the HertzRentalFind.com, and this company, ATS, does all of the tickets, all of the, if you get a parking ticket or a driving ticket while in a rental car, all the big car companies use this company to sort of process this. They just don't do it anymore. They outsource it. And so I emailed them the situation, you know, I don't really owe this, and I get a, you know, note back saying, thank you, we're going to look into this, and we'll let you know. And then I get another one saying, and this was the next day, saying your research was completed, and the findings are that you are not responsible for the citation. Call below for further details. So I'm thinking, oh, home run. I am all done here, right? 12 calls later, we're done. The next day, I get a parking violation reminder notice from Redwood City that now I owe $40. If I paid it to ATS, I owed $30. Now I owe $40. And if I pay it after 12/6, I owe $82. So all the paperwork hasn't caught up. And on Friday, I did try to reach out back to ATS to go over this. And they were closed for the holiday. I'm going to have to pick it up again tomorrow. But, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted just from trying to run down this stolen car. The $109, $98 charge, the getting that reversed, getting the parking violation reversed, and now I've got to deal with Redwood City directly because clearly everything hasn't caught up yet. And in the moment, I'm about to owe $82 for a parking fine on a stolen car. So anyway, the moral of the story is you have to follow up quickly, have all your documentation. I had all the receipts from all the taxis I took in San Francisco that show definitively where I was at the exact moment that this supposedly the parking violation was occurring. And if I didn't have all of that, it'd be really hard to prove where I was and how I was getting around town. And all this might have been pinned on me, and I would have paid an extra $160. And this way I don't. But it did take quite a lot of time. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. 45 minutes past the hour. Will joins us on the line from Stone Mountain. Hi, Will.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You were talking to a gentleman earlier about... older gentleman talking about refinancing this house.
Yep, Sid called. He's 65.
Okay, mm-hmm. We are 63, and we went go refinance because we were thinking about buying another house and didn't want that to show up. But we got a letter from the bank, and I don't know if I can mention the local bank, but we were told that we could come in and refinance for no cost, and et cetera. So mm-hmm. We went in Monday a week ago. And what they gave us, we was at 20 years at a little under 6%. And we went from a little under 6% to 3.5. Went from 20 to 10. And our note dropped from 7.78 taxes and insurance down to 7.20. So we dropped 10 years, went from a little under 6 to 3.5, and then dropped on that. And we didn't even, I didn't think the banks would do that. I thought just credit unions would do that.
Well, you must have, do you have like a very, are you working with a local bank?
Yeah.
Who are you working with?
BB&T.
Fantastic. I mean, that's just great. And some people have called me and said that they've been offered that deal and it sounded so good that they were sure that it wasn't true. And yet you're about the fifth or sixth person that I've had call and say that they've worked with BB&T and they called them and had this great deal. So good for you.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, he needs to check with his bank or credit union.
Well, he's already at 4.875,
mm-hmm.
and it's true, they can go back and ask the bank if they're just willing to do something, but you must meet a certain profile of being over 6% or over and having a certain number of years left in a certain community. I would guess, because it seems like some banks are profiling. And these people are getting certain kinds of offers. Like, you're getting these offers, but not everybody gets these offers. And when you call in, everybody's like, we don't have that offer.
Well, we don't have to pay. Didn't have to pay a dime. Didn't have to do a...
You must be thrilled. What an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Okay. Have a good day.
Thanks for sharing, Will. 47 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Eric's joining us on the line from Duluth. Hi, Eric.
Hi there.
Hi, what's on your mind today?
Well, I got my question is regarding the mortgage that I have. I owe $93,000,
mm-hmm.
and I've got $10,000 in my emergency fund. But I've got $50,000 in investments, and that was at the high when it was 50, so now it's probably dropped. And I'm wondering, do I take one or both of those accounts and throw it as much as I can onto the mortgage? Because the objective is I want to get rid of it completely.
How quickly do you want to get rid of it?
As soon as I can. I'm also paying an additional $1,200 a month towards principal.
Okay. What's your interest rate?
I don't recall that. I think it's like 4.7.
Okay. And when are you scheduled to pay off the loan?
It was a 15-year, and I just refinanced last year.
Okay. And so now you have another, so you've got 14 years left, but you're paying so much ahead, it's probably going to be more like an 11-year loan?
Okay.
So you only have, let's just assume you have 11 years left. If you put, I would never say to you, get rid of all of your emergency cash, but if you wanted to put $10,000 down, or let's just say 8, You'll take
okay.
you'll take yourself from 93 down to, let's say, 85,000. And you're still paying $1,200 a month towards principal. I would say you probably, this is just off the top of my head, could get the whole thing paid off in maybe 9 years, maybe 8 or 9 years. Now, if you want it to be even sooner than that, and I'm not quite sure why, then you could take some of the $50,000 in investments, especially if you've lost some money there, but not if it's a 401k. Is it a 401k?
No.
So it's just sitting there. Okay, so if you've lost some money there, or you're neutral, you could take some of that money, and then my guess is you could probably get it all paid off in the next 3 years.
That would be awesome. So my other thought would be then, once I have the mortgage down to about the $50,000, could I then also just move over from the investment and just pay off the mortgage totally? Or is that not a smart move?
Why do you want to pay off your loan so badly?
Because I don't want to work anymore.
Okay, and what are you going to pay the property taxes and insurance and, you know, all the other stuff with?
Well, then I'll get a job, but I won't have to get a stressful job. I think I'll just kick back a little bit.
Okay. Okay, well, listen, everybody's got to make their own life choices. So retiring so that you don't have to work so hard to pay your mortgage sounds pretty good. I would, and if you pay, the concern I have always is that you're left and you have no emergency cash and something happens to you, right? Or you need to replace, let's say, your car transmission. That's why we hear that pretty often, right? So I just wouldn't want you to suddenly have a $5,000 bill and no resources. So as long as you promise me you're going to have at least a month or so or 2 months, it sounds like you're very good at saving money and putting everything towards your goal, which is getting rid of this house payment. Just make sure you save enough on the side in case something happens and you need some cash, you've got it handy.
Okay.
But otherwise, throw it all at the loan, and if you can get it paid off in three and a half years. My sister's been doing this. She just refinanced. It's too bad you got 4.7% for your 15-year, because this year you could have had 3.25%. But my
refinance again?
Well, my sister, listen to what my sister just did. She refinanced from her 15-year to a 10-year at 3%. Paying almost nothing in costs. So you might want to look at that, because if you could get to 10 years and you're roughly paying about what you are now, and then you're paying $1,200 a month on top of it, then you're, without pulling down your $10,000 or your $50,000, you might be able to get rid of this loan in 5 years. And then if you add that money in, maybe it's, you know, 2 to 3 years. So I think you have to... I know you want to do this. I'm trying to be creative for you, but there are just so many good ways to go for you. But just, you got to do the math and figure out which way you want to throw the money so that it hits with the most impact possible. And a good mortgage broker can probably help you work out the amortization schedule. 52 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
57 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. So coming up, we're going to talk about Cyber Monday deals in electronics. And there are some great ones at Amazon and some other places as well. But companies like Discover Card are offering bonuses for using their credit card on Cyber Monday. And by the way, those Cyber Monday deals are all starting today, or they started on Thursday. So real extra benefit towards going online and doing your holiday shopping could be pretty darn good. So we'll talk about some of those deals coming up. And if you found a great deal on Friday and want to share, 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Whoa. Welcome back back, everybody, to the Elise Kling Show. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. If you are using Twitter, you can tweet me, my handle there, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. We also have an Elise Kling fan page. Feel free to join up. There's all kinds of fun things that you can do on there. And we have a free newsletter that goes out every week, and it points you to the 20, 30 pieces of content that we produce, whether it's the Equifax Finance blog, which is amazing, free personal finance, real estate, tax information, all the things that have to do with your credit. Or you might find some great information, over at ThinkLink. It just depends where you're hanging out these days. 404-872-0750. So tomorrow is Cyber Monday, and Cyber Monday is only 5 years old. Cyber Monday got called Cyber Monday when the National Retail Federation started noticing that people would go back to work the Monday after Thanksgiving, and they would start shopping online. And the reason that they're shopping online, it's interesting because 60% of Cyber Monday's shopping expenses will come during working hours from work computers. But now Cyber Monday has even passed the amount of sales as the highest volume day for holiday shopping. It's really significant. So this year, Cyber Monday is shaping up to be even bigger than last year. Shoppers are expected to do more than a third of their retail, their holiday shopping online to the tune of $1.2 billion, according to the National Retail Federation. The problem is you're going to find more scam artists who are looking to be doing some shopping of their own, possibly at your expense, by tapping into your, well, computer at work, or downloading a virus or a Trojan horse or some sort of thing, where you end up with, you think you're accessing a site where you're buying jewelry or technology or toys, and these pages are optimized and they'd redirect you to malicious sites that download malware onto your computers or trick you into divulging personal information. The Better Business Bureau released its own press release saying that somebody was out there pretending to be them. So you have to be careful. What do you do? Well, one thing you have to do is beware of any malicious emails pretending to have Cyber Monday deals. You need to go directly to a store. So don't just search, like I just ran a search on Google and it said Cyber Monday deals, right? And that's been one of the biggest search term all months, through the months. And Cyber Monday deals has actually had a 400% increase in the number of searches according to Google, right? So You don't, when you are going to a site, don't necessarily go from the search engines. You know, they try to police it, but they don't always do a good job. So you've got to be more careful than that. You want to go through a trusted source. So if you see online that Amazon has some amazing deals, which, by the way, they do, you'd want to go to Amazon.com, not necessarily to Google, and then click on what you think is Amazon.com. That's one way to protect yourself. Discover Card used to have special numbers so that you could shop online, use them once, right? And then they got rid of them, and they brought them back by popular demand. People were really crazed when they got rid of them, and there was a huge protest. And so you could go to Discover Card and get a unique number that just can be used for one time. So you would keep going back to Discover Card and use it, and that's how you'd be able to protect yourself and not have your credit card number stolen. Or if you go to a site like Discover Card and you go through their Shop Discover plan, you know that those 175 or 200 retailers are actually the real retailers, and you know you're getting credit and extra Shop Discover points because you've gone through the site. So very important. Now, employers need to think about making sure that all of their protection is upgraded. So McAfee is saying, locking down the internet or making sure that your malware protection is absolutely up to date. Make sure that you update your own computer at work and at home today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday. Just make sure you're staying very, very current, because there could be a whole lot of scamware and malware that's released on the internet tomorrow for Cyber Monday. So really important to just be super, super aware that you know where you're going, you're using the credit card you're using, and then always at night, and the next day, and the next day, check to make sure that the purchases you made look like the purchases that are turning up on your credit card statement. You cannot be too careful. That's just how you're going to have a safe Cyber Monday. 404-872-0750. It's 12 minutes past the hour. Let's go back to the phones with Jim. Jim joins us on the line from Alpharetta. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing there, Elise?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, all right. Let me describe my predicament to you. All of a predicament. Back in 2004, you might recall that everybody was sort of fat, dumb, and happy. And
yeah, those were the days.
Those were the days. And so I had an interest in purchasing some coastal property in Georgia, and with the intention of possibly developing that, 4 or 5 years down the road. So they offered an introductory rate of 4.25% on this property. And it's in an area, it's in a development that has all the utilities and everything's been pulled in there. And there's been about 60 homes developed to date. There's about 700 lots in this development, and all the rest are undeveloped at this point. So I've been paying on this since 2004, but after the first 5 years, that introductory rate became, I guess it was called due, and so then you had to go out on your own. And so that rate now is at like 7.75%, and it's a 15-year loan. And I originally bought the property at about
$98,000,
mm-hmm. and I paid it down to about $78,000. So, but now, long story short, that property is now valued at about $30,000,
right?
At best,
sure.
On the open market, so I'm trying to look for a way that is there anything I could do to either improve the rate that I currently have now, which is 7.75, and I have that with the original lender from when that property was offered at an introductory rate, and I've asked them to see if they can work with me and so forth, because what that did at 7.75, as you can imagine, took that monthly payment up from just a little under $500, almost $780 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really jumped it up there. I'm just looking for a way to maybe wait for the market to turn around, continue to pay on it because I have been paying on it all these years, or do I try to short sell it, or do I try to get a better interest rate? Your thoughts.
Are you having trouble making this payment?
It's not a burden right now, but I'm 58 years old, and every time I send that $775 check in, I go, wow, there goes money I could be putting into some type of retirement account.
Okay. So the problem, okay, a couple of issues. First of all, if you do a short sale, they're just going to come after you most likely for the missing money. This isn't a primary residence. It's an investment property?
That's correct.
So the lender is going to want to be paid off. So you're going to end up paying, if you don't end up paying, $78,000, you might end up paying $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be better, might not be better, I don't know. But a short sale, unless you make up the money entirely, will affect your credit for a long time, which is fine. I mean, if you don't need more credit, it's not going to be much of a problem for about 3 or 4 years. If you feel like this is still a place that you'd want to live in retirement and you want to keep this property, the problem is getting anybody willing to finance it right now, especially when it's so far underwater. And I think the mm-hmm. likelihood is next to nil that you're going to be able to get anything there. Now, the good news is that it's a 15-year loan. So how many years into the loan are you?
I'm only about 3 years into that one.
So you have 12 years left on paying this. Right?
Yes.
And you're paying a considerable amount towards the principal every single month because it's a 15-year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So while it would be great to have a 3% loan, you have a little bit higher than that. So in another 3 or 4 years, you'll be halfway through this loan, and at 7 years and really about probably down to $50,000 or $45,000. Now, one thing you could do is if you have a paid-off primary residence, you could refinance your primary residence And then you are putting that property at risk, but you could pay off this loan entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And a primary loan these days, as you've been hearing me talk about, I mean, you could get a 10-year loan at 3%. So it would be much lower. It would be deductible. And you would be able to, I think, pay off that loan much faster than the loan you're paying off right now. So that might be a win-win if that's a possibility for you.
Right, right. And that was one of the earlier callers had indicated that, and they had about the same situation I did with a payoff of about $160,000, and I'm at 4.75.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering if I should try to go out and maximize the 3.25% potential that you referred to, and then maybe see if there's any way I can take some money out of that after after I get the refinance and maybe pay off this, or significantly pay down this property in South Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to just get rid of it, at least if you got out $50,000 and you were able to put that towards it, and then you just had like a $28,000 loan left, and you put it up to sell, maybe you'd find somebody who would pay $30,000 for it, and you walk away pretty clean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so then you're just paying it off on your primary residence, but at least you're paying it off at a much lower rate.
Right, right.
That's an easier loan to get today. An investment property loan is not as hard. It's not as hard as it was, say, 2 years ago. The problem is you just have vacant land, and nobody is financing vacant land these days that I've been hearing about. Nobody wants it, especially in a development where you have 60 of 700 lots developed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's no, you know, that developer probably went under.
They didn't go under, but they pretty much hands-off walked away from it after, you know, they sold the last lot. And so there's actually a homeowners association there now that's still under the direction of the original developer. So until there's enough homes in there where you can effectively take it over, you know, as a homeowner, then we're still having to go through a management system that's, you know, that's another piece of it where, you know, twice a year they hit you with it. Present of you know, paying your homeowners association dues.
Well, you got to. I mean, there's got to be. You've got to pay for the insurance for the property. You've got to make sure the property is maintained. I mean, you know, I get that. I mean, that's what you signed up for. But you know, in terms of paying less for the same amount, you just have to first make the decision whether or not you want to save this property, and if you do, what you're willing to do for it, and if you're not, what you aren't willing to do for it.
And then exactly.
That's really where you are now. I mean, it's just, you know, so decide. Do you want to keep it or you don't want to keep it? If you do want to keep it, great. Then your best bet is going to be to try and refinance your primary residence as much as you can and then pay down this loan. Even if you can only get an extra $30,000 out of your primary residence, but you pay down this loan to $48,000, now your $780 a month is going to actually start to really be meaningful, and it will be the same as if you cut the interest rate from 7.75% down to, say, 4%, as you just paid a chunk of it down at a much lower rate. So there are some things that you can do, but deciding whether or not you're going to sell this property is going to be top of mind. 404-872-0750, I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be back to answer more of your questions next on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Kling is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
6 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. It's time for WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. The value, $380. It includes a pair of tickets to the Sean Hannity Holiday Concert on December 18th at the Cobb Energy Center, a gift certificate for a full house plumbing inspection courtesy of Superior Plumbing, and a one-week McDonald's Breakfast Prize Pack. $380. We will give it to the fifth caller. The prize pack line, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Fred. He's going to pick up your call. It's 27 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. Monica joins us on the line from Martin. Hey, Monica.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you? What's on your mind today?
I'm doing good. What's on my mind is I've got a double wide. We had planned on living on our property, so we put it on our property, and we kept it separate. We got a 30-year loan on it, and we still owe quite a bit of money. We've got about 17 years left, and it's had a pretty high interest rate. Of course, we're upside down on it, and we would like to get a lower interest rate. We've got good credit, and I'm not sure where to go because not a lot of people loan you money on these double wides.
You have to just shop around. It's not like there's any magic one place where you can go. But
okay.
You can try looking at bankrate.com and seeing if they've got anybody listed. You can look with some local mortgage brokers.
Okay.
There are some lenders who will finance a double wide, but it has to be on a permanent foundation. So if your property is on a permanent foundation, that's great. If it's on rented land, not so good. And if the unit itself is older than about 1976, 77, I mean, we're talking really old, it'll be just about impossible to find it, anybody who will finance it. So check those out. Talk to some mortgage brokers. It's going to take you more time and effort than somebody searching for a primary regular residence. That's just how it goes. 404-872-0750, 29 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
36 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Thanks so much for joining us. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If I can help you out, happy to do so. You can always find me online at thinkglink.com, T-H-I-N-K-G-L-I-N-K. A few lines are open right now. We'll get to your calls in just a moment, 404-872-0750. So it's really interesting. Black Friday sales online jumped 26% this year. It's almost three times the prior year level. And the visits to the top retail websites jumped 35%. Amazon got 50% more visits than any other retailer. That's just enormous. Black Friday online sales reached $816 million. It was the heaviest spending day on the Internet so far in 2011, according to ComScore. Year-over-year growth on Black Friday for online traffic, 9%. So this year's 26% sales increase was much, much stronger. The bricks and mortar retailers offered big discounts. They opened early. They stayed open late. They opened for the first time on Thanksgiving night, hoping to grab some of the action. I know that I had some friends who actually jumped in and said, oh, I'm going to Midnight Madness. I didn't even know what that was. And then they told me. I thought, I will be asleep because I'm really tired after cooking Thanksgiving dinner for 24 people. So it would be interesting to know how many of the people who showed up at midnight actually cooked the Thanksgiving dinner everybody ate. But, you know, maybe next year somebody's going to look at those numbers. Now, according to ComScore, each of the top five retail websites saw double-digit gains in visitors versus last year. It was led by Amazon. Walmart came in second, which followed more visitors than any other retailer and showed a huge growth. Amazon just killed the pack. Fulgoni forecast another record for online sales on Cyber Monday. And we've talked a little bit already today about Cyber Monday and protecting yourself. Last year, Cyber Monday online sales topped $1 billion, which was the heaviest day of online spending ever. According to ComScore, this year it's expected to go up 20% over that. Be interesting to see if anybody spends anything else before the end of the year. And probably in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about what you're going to be spending for the holidays and whether you're spending more or less in the same. And while I'm on the subject of future shows, next week is December 4th. We will not be on, I think there's, I want to say football, but if it's not football, maybe it's basketball. There's something, maybe there's a car thing. I don't know. It's Camp Merge special. I don't know. There's some reason we're not going to be on. And then the following week, football season will be over, and we're going to move back to our regularly scheduled 11-1 time that we spend most of our year at. So just want to give you the update as we move into the holiday year. And, of course, Christmas ends up on a Sunday this year. That means there will be Christmas music instead of our show and January 1st as well. So lots of holiday celebrating here at the Elise Glink Show. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Jeff joins us on the line. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I have a refinancing question. I have a 20-year mortgage at 4.75. I've been paying it off about $100 extra per month since I got the mortgage. So even though I got the mortgage probably 5 years ago, I'm down to 12 years left on it. I have about $90,000 left on it.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, should I be refinancing this or just simply throwing in an extra $100 a month towards it, and that functionally refinances it down to a lower rate?
You know, you probably should not be refinancing this loan. It's
okay.
Already at 4.75%. The only, you're at 12 years. The only thing you could do would be to go to a 10-year loan at 3%.
Right. I heard you mention that your sister had gotten a good deal.
Sister had gotten that deal. And so then it's a question of, what is that going to actually cost you? Like, what will that look like? And if I just, how much did you say you have left? Like $90,000?
Yeah, a little less than $90,000, and I can easily put $100 even more per month to it, or $200 more. In other words, if that functionally refinances, why go through the hassle of refinancing?
Right, refinancing is annoying sometimes. So if you just put in it at a calculator site, $90,000 at 3% for 10 years, the payment is $869.
Okay.
Now, what are you paying now without insurance and property taxes?
Without insurance and property taxes, I'm paying $889.
So you would save roughly $20 for your and $20 in 2 years by refinancing if you could get this deal.
Okay.
Now, if you don't want to pay any closing costs, it would probably be more like 3.25, and that brings you to $879, and you're already paying $880, right?
Exactly.
So it wouldn't save you anything. It would shave 2 years off of your payments.
Okay.
Now, could you do the same thing by just adding yet another $100 towards the loan?
Right.
And I would say the answer is you're going to be very close to yes.
Okay.
Like so if you just want to keep paying it down another $100 a month, my guess is you'll probably be just around 10 and a half years as opposed to 10 years, and you're done. Now, if you could refinance and pay the same amount but shave the 2 years and then put another $200 a month at the loan, you'll probably pay it off in 8 years. So what that does is multiply your savings from the 12 years you have left to the 8 years.
Right, but at $20 a month, I mean, we're talking about small amounts of money, correct?
No, it's not at all about the money. It's about let's say it's just the same amount, but now you've changed the game from 12 years to 10 years,
mm-hmm.
right? So you're already 2 years ahead. Now you're adding in the $200 a month you would be adding in anyway, and you might be able to get the 10-year loan to an 8-year loan.
Got it.
So you actually would be saving 3 or 4 years of payments by refinancing. And if you can get that deal done, that's a deal worth doing.
Got it. Perfect. And how do you recommend finding the kind of good deal that your sister found?
Sure. I mean, there are a lot of good deals out there. Like BB&T, we heard earlier today, just offered to bring some guy's loan down, and he got an amazing deal just in the mail from them. So what I would do is look at 4 or 5 different types of lenders. You can do a big lender like a Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, whatever. You can look at a regional lender like BB&T or some of the other smaller banks. Look at a credit union if you belong to one or can join one.
Okay,
credit unions often have a great deal. And I would go to a mortgage broker, somebody who's recommended by, say, your local real estate agent.
Okay.
And those 4 types of lenders ought to have a deal that you'd be interested in. You're only interested in right now a 10-year deal.
Correct.
And the 10-year deal would have to be somewhere between 3 and 3.25, depending on what kind of points and fees you're going to pay. For 3.25, you'd be willing to pay almost nothing. For 3%, you might be willing to pay a little bit.
Okay.
And that then you have
to... And when you say pay, do you mean points or do you mean all the fees all the other stuff involved?
I don't mean prepaid interest on the loan,
okay.
But I mean all the other stuff put together.
Perfect.
So because you want to look at total closing costs, right? So that might include, not include prepaid interest, but it would include a point. If you have to pay that, it might include some of the other junk fees that they throw in there. I mean, prepaid interest is prepaid interest. If you don't want to do that, close on the 30th of the month, right?
Right, exactly.
And then you pay one day as opposed to closing on the 1st and you pay 30 days. So I think you can change that at will. I just think you want to, if you can go from a 12-year payoff to an 8-year payoff, then it's worth refinancing.
Got it. Perfect.
All right.
That's really helpful. Thank you, Elise.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling the show, Jeff. 44 minutes past the hour. I'm informed that the reason we're not on next week is Clark's kids and Clark's Christmas kids, and that's why we're not on, not football, basketball, or any other sort of thing. 404-872-0750. Thank you, Crystal, for keeping me honest. John joins us on the line from Duluth. Hi, John.
Hey, Elise, happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday back at you. What's on your mind today?
Okay, a few years ago I refinanced my home, and they put it into an 80-20 kind of a deal. Kind of a high interest rate, but a couple of years ago, I lost my job. I was laid off, and I'd been still unemployed for all that time.
I'm sorry.
My credit went down and down because some things you just had to not pay because, you know, you got to have a roof over your head.
Sure.
Anyway, I finally got with my new mortgage people there, and they went ahead and finally modified my loan.
That's amazing.
Where I'm down to 2% now.
Wow. For how long?
2% for the first 6 years. Then it goes up 1%. And maximum will be 4.5% after about 7 years.
That sounds pretty fantastic. That's a good deal.
That's not bad. Now, my problem is this 11.5% second mortgage that's killing me.
Oh, my gosh. That's so high.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I was wondering, does anybody even touch a second mortgage?
No, not too often.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, they really don't. The problem, of course, is that when you were doing the first loan, is the second mortgage with the same company or a different company?
Yes, it's with the same company, but they said, oh, we only do first mortgages. We don't do second mortgages.
Well,
modify second mortgages.
They get paid to modify second mortgages by the government, but nobody seems to want to do those. And it seems like you're more likely to default with an 11.5% second mortgage. How much is the payment on that one?
Well, it's only $303 a month.
Okay. So are you having trouble making that payment?
Well, no, it's just that, see, now I am drawing my Social Security now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, every little bit helps, you know. If I was trying to combine the two loans into one, but they wouldn't do that either. But they knocked $650 a month off my first mortgage, which made me pretty happy.
How long is the second loan for?
That's a 30-year loan.
Okay.
And I owe about 26 more years on that.
Okay, and how much is the total amount that you owe?
$148.
You owe $148 on the second loan.
No, I thought you meant all together.
No, how much do you owe on the second mortgage?
$28 on the second mortgage.
$28,000?
Yes.
Do you have any children?
No younger ones. They're all grown now.
Your children are grown. So are either of your children in a position to help you pay off this loan where you could take a loan with them for, say, 5%? And pay them the money, which would be a really nice inside family thing, instead of paying the bank 11.5%.
Well, I hadn't actually thought of asking them.
You know, the reason I say that is that, you know, my mom had a friend who had a credit card debt of about 27% interest. Mm. It was for $25,000. It was a medical bill that hadn't been covered by her insurance. And she just could never get ahead of it. And my mother offered to pay that loan off for her and refinance it from 28% or 30%, whatever insane amount she was paying, down to, I think, 6%. For my mother, it was a great deal. She couldn't get 6% in the bank. She knew this person. They've worked together for a long time. And so she did that loan, and she asked us first, which I thought was hilarious because my mother, you know, has money. I'm like, you don't have to ask us, my sisters and I. But anyway, since you asked, I think it's an amazing idea. Go for it. And so she did, and this woman ended up paying off. It was going to be a 5-year loan at 6%, and she ended up getting the whole thing paid off in about 3 years. And for 3 years, my mother had great interest on that money that she wasn't earning anywhere else. And this way, you're paying not just, you know, you're keeping it in the family, but you're paying it to your children. If they're in a position and they're looking for a better investment for some cash, they probably trust you. Like, they couldn't think of anywhere better. So why don't you talk to them and see if they're able to help? And if they are, that's a deal you should take. Get this loan paid off, get rid of the 11.5, and then just pay them back.
Sounds like a good deal. I'll talk it over with the wife, and we'll figure it out.
I think
so. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome, John. Let me know what happens, but I'm going to hold a good thought that for this season, that might be a suggestion that works for everybody. It's 50 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glenk Show, 404-872-0750. We're going to take another couple of calls when we come back, so stay tuned to AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglenk.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Just a reminder, I won't be on next week. It's Clark's Christmas Kids, so Clark will be on instead. But I will be back the following week. We will be well into December at that point, December 11th. Hard to imagine. I'm glad you'll be joining us then. Jane joins us on the line now from Monroe. Hey, Jane.
Hey.
How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Well, our daughter relocated, and she has been unable to sell her home.
Mm-hmm.
She has someone who's really interested in it right now, but this girl's unable to get financing, supposedly because she's going through a divorce, and she is on a loan with her soon-to-be ex-husband.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if it's a foolish idea for her father and I to loan the money to this girl to buy the house so our daughter can get out from under this payment. And then that would be income for us.
Okay. Well, you could do that, but before you do it, I would treat it like a real loan. I would pull her
credit history,
credit score.
Right.
I'd try to understand what her obligation is to the other loan that she has with her ex-husband in addition to this loan and that other house. You have to really understand quite a lot about it.
Right. Well, how do you go about, as an individual, getting a credit check on another individual?
Right. So one thing you can do is you can sit with her, and she can go to annualcreditreport.com, and she can pull up her credit history from each of the three credit reporting bureaus and the credit score. Or she can just go to myfico.com and pull up the combined credit history and credit score for $39, preferably while you're sitting there watching her.
Right.
And then you can look at the date stamp on it so you understand exactly when it is.
The real estate agent that's handling this for our daughter, I think, has that information.
Well, then you'd want to see it.
Yeah, I could trust what he has, I would think. So.
No, I wouldn't trust anything you don't see with your own eyes.
No. I mean, I want to see it.
Yeah, you got to see it. And then you have to call her bank. You have to call other, places. You have to double check to make sure that the information that you're seeing is actually accurate. You'll have to see what the down payment is supposed to be and what the payoff is supposed to be and what the interest rate is. And if you think she can afford that based on how much money she actually makes. So, Jane, if you verify everything, and I would use a real estate attorney to help you with it, then and only then would I write up a contract and do loan documents to be sure that you are protected. Thanks for listening, everybody. Really appreciate it. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy Cyber Monday tomorrow. Remember, I'll be off next week. Clark will be here with Christmas Kids. I'll be back the following week as we get ready to wind down and wrap up 2011. Have a great week, everybody.